Hello, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to another edition of the Southern Tier Radio Theater. My name is Jake Longwell. Each week at this same time, the Southern Tier Radio Theater turns back the clock and revisits the golden age of radio, that magical time when families relied primarily on the radio for their entertainment. On this week's show, we're going to do something a little different. Instead of presenting the usual comedies, westerns, crime dramas, mysteries, and such, we have a pair of quiz shows or game shows for your listening pleasure. So you can kind of hear how this phenomenon all began. And it all began, where else? On the radio. Actually, we have quiz shows from two different periods in radio history and also from two sides of the Atlantic, as you'll hear later on in the program. We'll begin, though, with something from the Golden Age of Radio and something from right here in the U.S., as we present an episode of Information Please. From early on in the series, this broadcast is from June 14th of 1938 from NBC Radio. And the show, as it will be explained in the intro to the program, normally has a regular board or panel of experts that attempt to answer various questions submitted by listeners across the country. But each week, they bring in a special guest panelist. And for this week's show, June 14th, 1938, the special guest is playwright Mark Connolly. It is Information Please on the Southern Tier Radio Theater.
Information Please. Wake up, Mr. and Mrs. America. Time to stump the expert. This is the fifth in a series of struggles between the public and the expert, a new type of question and answer game in which the timid public turns on the mental giant. If you want to take part in this new game, now sweeping the country, here's how it's done. Send us questions and the correct answers. If acceptable to our editors, they will be presented to a board of experts for the first time during each broadcast. Questions accepted will win $2 each for the person who submits them. Any questions the experts cannot answer will be rewarded with an extra $5. The contest will be refereed by our master of ceremonies, Mr. Clifton Fadiman, literary critic of the New Yorker magazine. I present Clifton Fadiman.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. We have a particularly brilliant quartet here this evening. And while they're busy polishing up their Phi Beta Kappa keys, I'll introduce them to you. First, we have our old friend, the famous columnist, Franklin P. Adams, holding his hand to his head to keep the information from spilling out. Next, Mr. Marcus Duffield, day news editor of the Herald Tribune, and our shark on current events. Next, we have Mr. John Kieran, who not only runs a masterly sports column in the New York Times, but also claims to know everything about birds, beasts, bees, and flowers. We shall see, Mr. Kieran, we shall see. And finally, as our special guest of honor, I am proud to introduce the world-famous playwright, Mark Connolly, author of The Green Pastures, and at present producer of The Two Bouquets, one of the most charming plays of this season, or any season. Hope you like that, Mr. Conlon. We're always nice to our experts for the first 3 minutes. Now, folks, please remember, these four towering intellects, let's see your intellect tower, Mr. Adams, for a moment, thank you, have not seen these questions in advance. This is an informal program in which anything may happen, and very likely will. Questions are addressed to the entire board. Any member who gets a brainstorm may raise his hand. Now let him take a crack at the answer. The question must be answered by one member, except where the question is composed of more than two parts, in which case the board can cooperate. But if any part is answered incorrectly, $5 is forfeited. When you hear that cash register sound, that means $5 is actually being paid out to the lucky questioner. That clear? Now, a number of people are here in the studio now, all set to ask the questions they sent in. Those questions which we've received from out-of-town listeners will be presented to the board by your master of ceremony. We're all ready now to throw our questions to the lions. Listen carefully. The experts are sharpening their wits. And just for fun, we'll start the program with a little music. First question comes from Mr. James Franklin of Chicago, Illinois. We're going to play a few notes from seven famous songs, which I shall name. You are asked, my board of experts, to name the performer who made each song famous. and you have to name 5 out of 7 correctly. You can do that cooperatively. The first is My Man. Let's have it.
Libby.
Mr. Adams.
Fanny Bryce.
That's quite correct. The second is My Bill. Mr. Connolly is crazy to answer that question. Mr. Connolly.
Helen Morgan.
That's quite correct. The third, It's So Delightful to Be Married. Mr. Adams with that well-known confident smile on his face.
Anna Hell.
That's quite correct. The next is Some of These Days.
You look worried.
Still don't know. They're never talking to each other. Mr. Adams never heard of it. Some of These Days made famous by Sophie Tucker. That's one wrong so far. The next is Give My Regards to Broadway. All right, Mr. Carey, you seem to know that one.
I think it was a great baseball fan by the name of George M. Cohen.
Quite correct. The sixth, Whoopi. Mr. Connolly at bat again.
Eddie Cannon.
Quite correct. And last and finally, Minnie the Moocher. Oh, I think we've got them. Mr. Connolly?
I know a man who sang it.
Who was it?
Joe Cook.
I don't want Joe Cook. I won't accept him tonight. Well, they got 5 out of 7, so they just escaped losing the $5. Actually, Minnie the Moocher was made famous, I think, by Cab Calloway. Wouldn't that be right? Thank you very much. The next question comes to us from Mr. Dillard Gay, 9811 Dearborn Avenue, Detroit, Michigan. Question. What man was nominated to run for the office of President of the United States while serving a term in prison? Mr. Duffy.
Eugene V. Debs.
Eugene V. Debs is correct. Have you ever wondered what the situation would have been, Mr. Duffield, if he'd ever been elected under those circumstances? Perish the thought. Next question. From Dr. George S. Herity, 674 Park Place, Brooklyn, New York. Now, Dr. Herity has some conditions about this question. In the first place, in order to answer the question, I shall have to ask all 4 of my experts to give me the beginning of the Yale cheer. The Yale cheer.
How about leaving?
Mr. Adams?
I won't give it at all.
Mr. Adams won't give it? Why not?
I don't like you.
Very bad. Adams not allowed to say that sort of thing over the air. You realize that if you don't give us the Yale cheer together with your colleagues, we are going to lose the sum of $5?
I'll give it.
All right, gentlemen. 1, 2, 3.
Break it, kick, 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 kick. Break it, kick, 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 kick.
That's only the beginning of Dr. Herity's question. The question is, with what animal and what famous poet is that cheer associated? Mr. Connolly.
Associated with frogs and Aristophanes.
Aristophanes, play the frogs, quite great. They're pretty good so far, but we'll break them down. This one comes from Miss Nell Wynn, 1203 Woodside Building, Greenville, South Carolina. Question. What popular dances bear or include the names of each of the following? Now, you can get together on this, boys. A fruit. Volunteer. What popular dances bear or include the names of each of the following? A fruit, Mr. Connolly?
Big Apple.
Big Apple is correct. Grapevine would do, of course. A city. Mr. Adams?
Charleston.
Charleston is correct. Also Chicago, also Baltimore. That's all I have down on the card. An animal? Mr. Kieran, you know all about animals. All right, now. Mr. Adams?
I'm
The Foxtrot.
Foxtrot's correct. I found another one. Callie, do you know another one?
The Grizzly Bear.
Grizzly Bear, Bunny Hug, Camel Walk. Oh, there are thousands of them. At least three. For a state. That's a state of the union, I understand.
Virginia Reel.
That's correct. That came from Mr. Duffield, current events expert. And, finally, a vehicle. A vehicle. They look all broken up.
Camel Walk?
Camel. What am I going to do with a man like that? He thinks a camel is a vehicle.
Ship?
I won't accept it.
A drag.
I beg pardon?
A drag?
A drag isn't a vehicle either.
Oh, it is.
You mean a wheelbarrow?
Never riding a drag?
Don't argue with me. You have no time. No, the answer is truckin'. Truckin', truckin'. It's as simple as ABC, and that's going to cost you $5. Next question. Miss Esther Quitt of London, Ontario, is here to read a question herself. Miss Quitt.
In what modern country did a king succeed his son to the throne?
I'll repeat that, thank you. In what modern country did a king succeed his son to the throne? Mr. Duffield.
King Carol took the throne of Romania away from his poor youngster, Michael.
That's quite correct. Now, the next one has to do entirely with noses. Noses, you know, N-O-S-E-S. And it comes to us all the way from Santa Fe, New Mexico, from Mr. Jonathan Rush. The following description refers to stage personalities or roles that made them famous. From these descriptions, can you name the actors? One, a long-nosed gallant. Miss Conlon.
Cyrano de Bergerac.
That's quite correct. Two, a red-nosed spellbinder. Miss Conley again.
W.C.
Fair. That's quite correct. Apparently, Mr. Conley knows something about the stage. Had no idea where he's picked up his knowledge. Third, a nose for crime. Now, this may be motion picture personalities, of course. Miss Conley again.
Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock Holmes. Very good. And four, the biggest nose of them all. Mr. Carey.
Mr. James Durante.
Mr. James Durante is correct. You wouldn't accept Jumbo the Elephant, I suppose.
As a pinch hitter, yes.
Now, Mr. Joe Eakins of 345 West 86th Street is here tonight to read his question. What Mr. Eakins has done is to translate two famous lines by a contemporary poet. He's going to read them to you.
It is unusual for the male of the species to make amatory overtures to a female of the species whose orbs are obscured by lenses. Can you quote the original and give the source?
I'll run that through once more. It is unusual for the male of the species to make amatory overtures, lovely phrase, to a female of the species whose orbs are obscured by lenses. Why, they all seem to know it. They all know it. Mr. Kieran has two hands up. Mr. Kieran.
Men don't make passes at gals with glasses by Dorothy Parker.
That's correct. Actually, you have changed the lines a little bit, made them a trifle ungrammatical, Mr. Kieran. Men seldom make passes at girls who wear glasses, is the correct version. I think we'll let you go. The next one comes from Mr. Lou Auerbach, 134 East Moshaloo Parkway, Bronx, New York. Explain each of the following. Board can get together on this. Dutch courage, Dutch treat, Dutchman's britches, the flying Dutchman. 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 The flying Dutchman.
Went very brave. Went very brave. Went very brave.
Is that your explanation of what Dutch courage is? I'm afraid I must mark you wrong on that. Mr. Kieran.
Can I go backward on them?
Well,
all right,
the question's been answered wrong already, but I'd like to get the correct answer from you.
Well, I think Dutch courage is courage inspired maybe by a good flow of beer.
Yes, that's quite
correct. And what's the second one?
The second one is Dutch treat.
Dutch treat, that's where you pay as you go.
Right. Dutchman's britches.
Oh, Dutchman's britches. That's right down my alley. That's Dicentra cucullaria.
I beg your pardon.
Small flower that is now out of season, blooms around here in April.
Well, why didn't you say that to begin with? And fourth, the Flying Dutchman.
Well, the Flying Dutchman is a marine legend. At least that's one of the Flying Dutchmen.
Correct. One's enough. Know any more Flying Dutchmen?
Yes. Hans Wagner, the famous shortstop of the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Mr. Karen did very well for us, but unfortunately, Mr. Duffield's mistake got the rest of you in Dutch, and so you are losing $5. I'm sorry to say. So far, we have lost $10, I believe, to date. Next one comes from Mrs. Fern Palin, 2426 Mission Apartment 8, San Francisco, California. Now, listen carefully, gentlemen. Listen carefully. If a young lady, Mr. Adams is very attentive, sitting directly opposite you in a trolley car, suddenly started to nictitate. To nictitate. Explain why you would react in one of the following ways. Feel embarrassed? Call a policeman? Feel pleased? Mr. Curran.
Was she good looking?
The answer is always yes when there's any doubt. Yes.
Well, then you wouldn't be out of place to step over and sit beside her. Because she gave you the wink.
That's quite correct. Finally, Mr. Curran, when he's not attending baseball games, sporting matches, has done a good deal of nictitation in his time. Thank you very much, Mr. Curran. What a life you've led. The next, from Mr. Bernard Gelb, 1290 Lafayette Avenue, Bronx, New York. Identify the play, motion picture, or the actor with whom four of the following lines are associated. Now, there are five lines altogether. You've got to get four of them. The first is, that's all there is. There isn't any more. Volunteer. That's all there isn't any more. Miss Adams.
Miss Ethel Barrymore.
Yes, remember the play in which that was said? You won't count you wrong if you don't. Miss Conley, do you remember it?
Sunday.
Sunday is correct. The second. What's all the shooting for? Miss Conley.
The play is The Tavern.
That's correct. And do you remember the actor who made the line sing?
Yes. What comedian?
You know brother. I think it was Arnold Bailey, wasn't it?
No. It was not.
It was said, No Time
no,
to Walk.
It was not. It was said by the...
What have you got right on the tab? I'm a very remarkable fella. I'm a very remarkable fella. I'm reading this off a card, ladies and gentlemen. I don't want to get any false impressions. I'm a very remarkable fellow, Mr. Connolly.
Peter Pan.
Peter Pan? No, yes. That's wrong. That's one wrong so far. Can anyone supply the correct answer to that? It's from Seventh Heaven. And I suppose you might name Mr. Charles Farrell and Mr. James Stewart and Mr. Joseph Schildkraut as any one of the three actors who made the line famous. At least famous to some people. I never heard it before in my life. Four. Wait for Baby. Mr. Curran.
That's from the war play by yes. Lawrence Starling.
That's right. Give us the name.
Just a minute. I'll have to pass that, Frank. It's going right on my mind.
What Price Glory.
What Price Glory is correct. All right. And never give a sucker an even break. Miss Connolly.
By W.C. Fields.
Yes.
In the Poppy.
In Poppy. Four out of five is what the boys got, just by the skin of their teeth. Adam, stop nictitating it. Mr. Joseph Klein of 485 Ocean Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, sends us this very good question. Identify the following game. Tip Cat, that's T-I-P-C-A-T, Skittles, and Curling. Miss Kieran?
Why, Tip Cat is the game that you play with a small wooden peg and a stick that you tip it up with and then wallop it. You see the boys playing it around the street.
Quite right.
Skittles is a game of, from which we probably get our bowling game. And curling, of course, is a four-man team game that's played on ice where you shoot some heavy stones down at concentric circles down the rink.
That sounds quite correct. It is correct. Mr. Kieran, isn't Tip Cat also called Wanna-Cat?
No, Wanna-Cat is a baseball game. It's played with insufficient number of boys to make up a full nine.
This is extra information that we're getting free of charge. However, the question was answered quite correct. From Mr. Winifred B. Rogerson of 47 Lemuel Avenue, Chicopee, Massachusetts, comes the following. Now, this is a very pretty question. To what birds, Mr. Kieran, this is more or less in your line, to what birds do the following questions based upon well-known songs refer? Now, there are five of them altogether, and you have to get all of the five. One, what bird was asked, why do you sit singing willow, pitch, willow, pitch, willow?
Little Tom Tit.
Little Tom Tit's correct, or a dicky bird, I believe, in another stanza of that
yes,
song.
Sir.
Two, what bird went to sea with the pussycat?
The owl.
Still, Mr. Kieran. He's a bear on bird. what bird woke me last night when all was still? Mr. Adams.
The nightingale.
The nightingale is correct. Four.
Took that bird out of my mouth.
To what bird are we urged to listen? Mr. Kieran?
Hark, hark, the lark.
No, sir. Are we urged to listen? Mr. Adams.
The mockingbird.
The mockingbird is correct. How about the fifth? To what bird are we urged to hark? And now,
For the second time, hark, hark.
I know, but you missed on number four, and that's going to cost us $5. From Miss Inez Heibel of 226 Franklin Street, Butler, Pennsylvania, comes the following. Identify three out of four prominent women to whom these unusual first names belong. Now, these names are so unusual, I'm probably going to have a lot of fun pronouncing them. Here we go. The first is Marina, M-A-R-I-N-A. The second is Elzir, E-L-Z-I-R-E. The third is Hepzibah. I won't even try to spell that one. And the fourth is Farida, S-A-R-I-D-A. Now, can any one of you gentlemen take the whole question and answer it complete?
What was the second one?
The second one was Elzir, E-L-Z-I-R-E. I'm doing my best on the pronunciation this evening. They're making notes, folks. Connolly's brow is furrowed. You drive a mule team through one of those furrows. Anybody got a mule team?
I only got three answers.
Well, let's have the three.
Marina,
which one have you got?
Is the Duchess of Kent?
Marina is the Duchess of Kent, correct.
Hepzibah? Is Yehudi of Menuhin's sister?
That's correct.
And Farida is the queen of Egypt.
That's correct. And let's have Elzir. Can anyone give us Elzir? We've got the question in the bag. We've named three out of four, but let's get Elzir. Mr. Duffield. Now, Mr. Duffield is an authority on current events.
Her face is familiar, but I can't remember her name.
You say her face is familiar.
Yes, we used to play Indians together.
We used to play Indians with Elzir. Well, you must have had a fine time with her. It's Mrs. Dion, the mother of the quintuplets. Well, I got three out of four. Very good. Shame on Mr. Duffield, an expert on current events, not knowing a question concerned with the quintuplets. Mr. David R. Scott is here, 1205 75th Street, Brooklyn, New York, to read his question. Mr. David R. Scott.
This beetle is a shrubby plant, the leaves of which are chewed by certain Asiatics. What is beetle host?
Read that over again, please.
This beetle is a shrubby plant, the leaves of which are chewed by certain Asiatics. What is Betelgeuse?
Anybody know the answer to that?
How do you spell that last part?
How do you spell that Betelgeuse?
Betelgeuse.
B-E-T-L-G-E-U-S-E.
Well, that's,
All right, Mr. Connolly, what is Betelgeuse?
It's, one of the largest of the distant stars.
That's quite correct. It's one of the largest of the distant stars.
And it's also spelled wrong.
G-E-U-S-E.
G-U-E-U-S-E. Don't quarrel, ladies and gentlemen. We have too little time for quarreling. The next question, I'll read myself. So Mr. Jones, David L. Jones, as a matter of fact, of Denville, Massachusetts. If you caught a Frenchman in the act of stern mutation. If you caught a Frenchman in the act of stern mutation, sounds like poetry. Why might you do one of the following, and which one? Cry, vive la France, and kiss him. Challenge him to a duel. Bless him. Mr. Kieran.
Why, give him the French of our English, God bless you, because he's simply sneezing.
Yes, stern mutation is sneezing. That's correct. These sporting editors pick up the darndest information. The next one comes from Mrs. Robert W. Holmes of 28 Billingham Street, Somerville, Massachusetts. Name the defeated presidential candidate of the Republican or Democratic Party, beginning with 1916, and in order. Mr. Duffield.
I don't know why I always get these presidents. 1916 was Mr. Hughes.
That's correct.
1920 was Mr. Warren... wait a minute now. Mr. Cox.
That's correct.
1924 was Mr. John W. Davis.
Correct.
1928 was Mr. Alfred E. Smith.
Correct.
1932 was... who was that man?
No political commentary over the air. 1932.
That is Mr. Landon.
Mr. 1932.
Oh, I skipped one.
I beg your pardon. What was 1932?
1932 was Mr. Hoover.
That's correct. And
1936, Mr. Landon.
That's quite correct. Now for Mr. W.L. Greer, 1709 Harvard Avenue, Canton, Ohio, comes this question. Name four books, you only have to name four, whose titles suggest kinds of weather. Weather, you know weather. All right, let's get cooperative answers on this. First volunteer, Mr. Duffy.
If winter comes.
Winter comes, very good. Mr. Kieran.
Bromfield, the rain came.
That's correct. Miss Connolly, perhaps you have one. Or Miss Adams.
Must they be novels?
Small books.
Storm Over Mexico.
Storm Over Mexico is perfectly all right. And four? We have three so far. Miss Kieran?
I'm sorry, I heard a whisper of the south wind.
South wind is correct. I think really it ought to be perfectly fair and square. We ought to see if we can't get one more.
Rain with Gene Eagle.
Rain of Gene Eagle turned out to be a book, finally. That's quite correct. Well, there are a number of others one might mention. Typhoon, The Mortal Storm, which is a great bestseller at the moment. A High Wind in Jamaica. And here's one that'll slay you. George Moore's Hail and Farewell. The total record of penalties so far is $15. They're not doing badly, not doing badly. From Miss Helen Lewis of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, comes the following very amusing question. To what does each of the following words refer? Schnitzel, Schnitzler, Schnauzel, Schnauzer, and Schnockenberg. I'll give it to you one at a time. Schnitzel. Volunteers on Schnitzel. Mr. Adams is on Schnitzel. What do you have, Mr. Adams?
Schnitzel is a veal cutlet.
A veal cutlet, correct. Now, Schnitzler.
He's a playwright.
He's a playwright. Now, Schnuzzle. The radio audience cannot see that gesture, Mr. Kieran.
The nostrils. Two nostrils. I mean, a good-sized pair.
Yes. A good nose. Schnauzer, Mr. Kieran.
A schnauzer is the type of dog, a long-haired dog.
Yeah. And finally, Schnockenberg. This is the one that's going to slay them. Schnockenberg. Don't you know it, Mr. Kieran?
Well, it sounds over a mountain.
Oh, no. Might have been a mountain originally. Schnockenberg, if no one knows it, is a contemporary American painter, and that is going to cost us $5. Well, we have it. Schnitzel, Schnitzler, Schnauzel, Schnauzer, Schnockenberg. Pretty snappy, I think. Uh-oh. Now, time for one more question. This one comes from Mr. Eugene Bird of Black Mountain, North Carolina. Who were the first diet enthusiasts, according to Mother Goose? The first diet enthusiast, Miss Connolly.
Mr. and Mrs. Spratt.
Yes. Jack Spratt would eat no fat. His wife would eat no lean. Of course, there was also Taffy, the Welshman, who was somewhat partial to beef. We won't allow him in, though. I think that's about all we'll have time for this evening, ladies and gentlemen. And now for the total penalty. $20. The kitty has been reduced by that round sum. Thank you all members of the board and all the folks that have submitted questions. Now, Mr. Cross, our announcer has a word for you about next week's contest. Good night, everybody, and come again.
Thank you, Mr. Fadiman. We meet again next week at 8:30 for another quiz contest between the public and the experts. The board of experts for next week will include Franklin P. Adams, Bernard Jaffe, John Kieran, and Howard Dietz, author of Broadway plays and publicity director for the MGM Studios. Send us your questions and don't forget to include the correct answers. There are no restrictions on the number you may submit. For each question chosen, you get $2. Then if the board flops on that question, you get $5 more. All questions become the property of Information, Please. Questions on all subjects are welcome. History, sports, literature, music, science, movies, and so on. Make the questions interesting and amusing on subjects the experts should know and the public would like to learn about. So come on, everybody, join our new game of quizzing and stumping the experts. Send your questions to Information, Please, WJZ, the National Broadcasting Company, New York City.
Information, Please, as originally broadcast by the National Broadcasting Company on June 14th of 1938 with special guest panelist playwright Mark Connolly. You're listening to the Southern Tier Radio Theater, Old Time Radio, for your listening pleasure. And our theme this week is quiz shows or game shows. And we're going to fast forward in time about 32 years now from 1938, and we're also going to take a trip across the pond being the Atlantic Ocean, as we have now an episode of Just a Minute, a radically different approach to quiz shows from that which you just heard on Information, Please. In this show, the premise is for one of the panelists to try to speak for 1 minute about a predetermined topic or subject, and the other panelists, there are four of them, can interject at any time and challenge the panelist who is speaking if they do something like hesitate or deviate from the subject, so resulting in a very comedic and humorous and unpredictable antics from the panelists. And for this show, they are reversing two of the roles. One of the panelists, Kenneth Williams, is actually the chairman or host for this episode of Just a Minute, whereas the regular chairman, Nicholas Parsons, is one of the panelists. This is a broadcast from the BBC, as they still had their monopoly on broadcasting in the UK, from February the 23rd of 1970. It's Just a Minute on the Southern Tier Radio Theater.
We present Derek Nimmer, Clement Freud, Nicholas Parsons, and Geraldine Jones in Just a Minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is this week's chairman, Kenneth Williams.
Thank you very much. Thank you. That's nice. Thank you. Yes, well, some achieve greatness, some are born to greatness, some have it thrust on them, and it's been thrust on me this week to be chairman, because Nick Parsons said you can try to get in a bit of your own medicine back on me, you know, because we do have a go at him some weeks. So this week, I'm the chairman, just for this week, you see. And you have to speak, as you know, in this game for 60 seconds without repeating yourself and without hesitating and without deviating. And the first subject this week is the alphabet. And our first contestant is Nicholas Parsons. So will you speak for 60 seconds, Nicholas, without doing any of those things that I just said? In other words, talk about the alphabet for 60 seconds, starting now.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, P, Q.
I'm sorry, Nicholas, you've been challenged. Clement, you're challenged on what ground?
Deviation, he left out the O.
Oh, well, if you left out the O, I'm afraid that definitely is deviation. Therefore, a point
goes... Did I leave out the O?
Yes, I'm afraid you did. A point goes to Clement Freud, and Clement Freud has the subject. You have 40 seconds left, Clement, for the alphabet starting now.
The alphabet is a Grecian punt. It's a sort of financial investment on animals, which is done as a double, a treble, or an accumulator might be procured by placing...
Challenge. I've got a challenge. Who's that challenge, Derek? Why did you challenge?
It's horrid, Kenneth. That deviation, he's making it up, you see. It's not such a thing as an alphabet.
I thought there was. In betting parlance, I'm not familiar with this world at all. I do little punting myself. I've never punted. I'm not a punter, you know. I give you this, I concede this point to you. Yes, you gain a point. And you are left with 25 seconds to discuss the alphabet starting now.
A is for apple. That was the first phrase in my little book, which I learned when I was very small. And then B is for basket in which we put peas. C is for Charlies that walk round my knees. D is for Derek, who sits here so fine. E is for Eric. I know he'll not be mine. F is for Freddy, who walks round the house. G is for Gertie, who's as small as a mouse. H is for Harry, who is such a fellow.
Well, Derek Nemo gets a point for speaking when the whistle blew, and that means he's in the lead. Clement Freud is close behind him, and Geraldine and Nicholas have agreed yet to score. However, we go on now to the next subject, which is the film industry. Geraldine Jones, will you speak for 60 seconds on the film industry, starting now?
Some people labor under the delusion that the film industry is about stars and exciting people. These are, in fact, mere shells, and they are motivated and organized by very gray people who might just as well be used selling soap. In fact, the whole business exists on the fear that one of these days people aren't going to go to the cinema anymore, and then they're all going to be needed selling soap.
Well, I'm pleased to say hesitation.
Yes, I've played hesitation. You have a point, Derek, and you can do the subject for 35 seconds, starting now.
Well, there's no business like film business. Gosh, it's exciting.
Why are you challenging?
Repetition of business.
Clem, really.
Absolutely right, absolutely.
Most ungallant of you, but absolutely correct, so you gain a point, and you continue for 32 seconds, starting now.
The film industry is one of the most vibrant in this country. If you look at the stock index and look at the...
New challenge?
On look, he said look twice.
Yes, that's what he said it twice, did he? Oh, well, that's fair enough. He said it twice. We can't argue about that. Therefore, you get a point. You get a point. Nicholas Parsons gets a point. And you continue with the subject. You have 18 seconds to discuss the film industry, starting now.
The film industry is devoted to making cinematograph experiments and other types of entertainment, which were seen on widescreen, small screen, video.
Why are you challenging, Geraldine?
Repetition of screens.
Screen? Oh, did you say that twice?
Yeah, I said
I'm
twice.
Very sorry. Well, you get a point, Geraldine, and continue with the subject of the film industry for 12 seconds, starting from now.
The first thing that I know about it is that it involves a tremendous amount of money, which usually...
Who are you challenging? It was Derek again. Why are you challenging Derek?
Tremendous, actually. Did say tremendous twice?
Tremendous twice was said?
Tremendous in the past.
You get a point, and you continue with the subject for 7 seconds, starting from now.
Throughout all the Odeons and the ABCs in the country.
Who challenged there? Clement, there's an awful lot of challenging going on.
Advertising.
What, on what grounds are you challenging, Clement?
You can't advertise your local cinemas on this program.
Oh, absolutely right. That's against the charter. You've offended the charter. I'm appointed here by the BBC. Yes, I am the adjudicator, the judge. I am the final arbiter. I shall not shirk my duty. I will not fail my responsibility. You are absolutely right. You can appoint Clement Freud, and you continue with the subject. You have 4 seconds to discuss the film industry, starting now.
Cameras, lenses and other capital equipment are essential to any company.
Oh, brilliant. Yes. Clement gained a point there because he was talking, you see, when the whistle blew, which means he's, what is he, level with Derek, is he?
One behind.
Oh, he's just one behind Derek. So Derek is still in the lead. Geraldine's one, Nicholas one. So you and Geraldine are sharing, Nick. Sharing, third place.
Oh,
so
I see. Sharing, well, something more exciting.
And we go on to the next subject. The next subject is kneading dough. Kneading dough. And I should tell you, listeners, that it is written on the card as kneading with an N and not with a K. Kneading dough. Will you speak for 60 seconds on that subject? Derek Nimmo, starting now.
Well, as Mr. Kenneth Williams has very clearly explained, he does refer to the obtaining of money or the want of money. And this is something that I, from time to time, do need quite desperately. I remember in earlier periods,
Hesitation? Oh, I didn't notice the hesitation at all. No, I think you gave another point, Derek. Go on.
Thank you, Chris.
Yes. Thank you, 40 seconds. Thank continue. Now.
Right. Yes. Well, sorry. I wasn't trying to... Did you use to say starting
Clement,
now?
Clement Troy, why the challenge?
That was hesitation.
That was hesitation. I'm afraid you're absolutely right. Clement gains the point, and you continue with 45 seconds starting now.
I was once in Market Harborough with only 11 and tuppence in my pocket. Desperate to obtain more, I went into a public house, addressed the landlord, whose name was Thornycroft, and said, "Excuse me, sir, I am desirous of having a little more."
Oh, Nick challenge, why?
Deviation, there's no chap called Thornycroft who has a pub in Market Harbour.
Perfectly right, absolutely right. You gain a point. You gain a point.
You wait till the letters come in. Mr. Thornycroft, I'm terribly sorry.
Starting now. Well, of course, this is a very vital Miss obviously.
Oh, challenge from Clement Troy.
Why
the challenge, Clement?
I'm packing it in. I'm sorry.
Why the challenge, Clement?
Hesitation.
Hesitation. You're perfectly right. You gain a point. And you continue with 28 seconds kneading dough starting now.
In Oakham and Uppingham, in dire distress, I once had to call...
Yes, why the challenge, Derek?
Dire distress.
That's a repetition of dire distress?
Repetition of dire distress, I think.
Yes, you gain a point. You gain a point. Now I have 22 seconds to discuss kneading dough, starting now.
When I was in this condition once, I walked up and down Oxford Street dressed as a cat with sandwich boards on. Another time I went through Newport and Monmouthshire with an alligator's head, with also a great advertisement saying, "Would you please come to a dance that I was organizing?" Other times when I have been kneading...
Yes, I'm sorry. Who's that challenge, Clement? Hesitation. Yes, I'm afraid you're absolutely right. Clement is justified in that challenge. Yes, Clement, you gain a point, and you have 5 seconds in which to discuss kneading dough, starting now.
I went to the bank and demanded to see the manager. "Look here, my good fellow," I said to him. "It is essential that I..."
Oh, another challenge. Oh, Derek, why the challenge?
Deviation. His bank manager couldn't be a good fellow.
That's
Isn't that exactly why one calls the bank fellow, the bank manager, my dear fellow?
Yes,
because
you
he's such a rotten
there, and you half a second left to discuss kneading dough starting now.
And down to the labor exchange.
Who's in the lead now? Oh, Derek's leapt into the lead. Nothing about that, is there? Oh, Derek Nimmo leapt into the lead. It's quite startling there. Clement Freud, will you speak on the subject of thespians for 60 seconds, starting from now?
A thespian is one like Nicholas Parsons who started in the theatre and, like Derek Nimmo, who is carried on in the musical industry, appearing in dinner jackets or tailcoats, rushing into theatre, sometimes late in the afternoon, occasionally early in the evening, where a small man steps out of his box and says, "Good morrow, sir."
Hesitation, I'm afraid, Geraldine, was that your challenge?
Yes, you're absolutely right.
You gain a point, and you have the subject. You have 35 seconds to discuss thespians, starting now.
I once spent a very long and boring year at school in the United States, and there they're rather pretentious.
Oh, challenge from Clement. Why was that challenge?
Deviation.
No, perfectly correct. You gain a point. And you have left 30 seconds to discuss thespians starting now.
There are costumiers who will hire you clothes such as my...
Oh, challenge from Geraldine. Why are you challenging Geraldine?
Deviation.
Why? What
well, thespians are actors and costumiers aren't.
Absolutely true. You gain a point. The audience obviously with this very attractive young lady. And she has 35 seconds in which to discuss thespians starting now.
The thespians at this aforementioned place of education were they rather pretentious dramatic society.
Quite a challenge.
Repetition of pretentious.
You've no right to challenge, and moreover, it's extremely ungallant to interrupt a lady in the middle of a lovely tirade. She's got, what is it now? 22 seconds to discuss their being starting now.
Several times a year, they put on extremely bad plays in which they couldn't really act because they didn't...
Oh, I bet they couldn't act. Now I can see that lot. I can just see it. They were a riot. Yeah. What? Who'd you interrupt in? Derek, why did you interrupt?
Hesitation.
You're absolutely right. He gave the point. You have 14 seconds in which to discuss thespians. Derek, please pull yourself together. Derek. 14 seconds in which to discuss thespians, starting now.
They are called after the semi-mythological Greek dramatist.
Nick, why did you challenge?
A hesitation.
A hesitation? Did you notice the hesitation here, Nestor?
Was there?
Well, you get a point then, Nick. You get a point, unquestionably, and you have 10 seconds in which to discuss thespians starting now.
One of the greatest thespians I ever saw was Sir Laurence Olivier.
Oh, what was that challenge?
I'm sorry, my hand slipped.
Oh, your hand slipped. Geraldine is becoming very nervous here, and as of course you can see, the score is creeping up there and getting down. I'm getting quite worked out myself here, yes. I'm throbbing in empathy with you all. So, yes, there was no point score there, is there? Nick continues for 7 seconds with the subject of thespian, starting now.
I went to see this act on the stage when I was quite a young lad at the Old Vic, and he was playing Macbeth, and he said, if it were done when 'tis, 'twill it were done quickly. If the assassination were done...
Ah, yes, well, I'm afraid Derek Nimmo still has a resounding lead. Oh, colossal. You should get up and take a bow, I can tell you. You're doing terribly well. Next subject is feeding. In other words, you know, the intake of nutrition. feeding. Nicholas, will you talk for 60 seconds on the subject of feeding, starting from now?
Feeding is absolutely essential to the human body. All animals, of course, indulge in this. I do it about 3 times a day. But, of course, other things need feeding as well, like plants. Now, I am lucky. I live quite near stables. And every time when the horses go by, I rush out with my little bucket and spade and get the essentials that they drop.
Oh, challenge, Derek?
He's talking about fertilization, not feeding.
I see, yes. But you would say that Lucy is certainly sort of bound up, you know, with it. So I don't think it's deviation. I give you a point, Nicholas, and you continue with the subject. You have 45 seconds starting now.
All plants need to be fed.
Why do you challenge, Clement?
Repetition of plants.
Plants. Oh, I'm afraid you didn't reach yourself there. Yes. So you get 1 point, Clement, and you have 41 seconds, I'm sorry, to discuss feeding starting now.
In canteens, this happens at least twice a day when the massed assembly gather together and eat. In other words, they pick up a knife and a fork and begin to shovel into them meat and fish, vegetables and fruit, rice and potatoes, often washed down with tea, coffee, wine, or
yes,
other...
Yes, so Geraldine challenged. Why, Geraldine?
Deviation.
Deviation, why?
Talking about drinking, not feeding.
Oh, but it's an essential part of the process, dear. It's got to be washed down, yes. But taking a load of starch, you need a load of tannic acid to wash the lot down, I suppose. Oh, gee, isn't it? No, he's a lovely fellow, Clem. He gets a point and he continues the subject. How much has he got? 20 seconds, Clem, starting from now.
In the world of our dumb friends, this is usually done with earth, water...
Hesitation, I'm afraid. Yes, hesitation. Yes, you'll get 1 point, Nick. And you continue with the subject. You have 15 seconds starting from now.
When you collect the manure, it is essential not to put it immediately onto the plants because it's got a lot of acid in it and it...
Yes, that is true. Ooh, challenge. Derek, why is it challenge?
Revolution of plants yet again.
Oh, he said it twice. Oh, that's what I was going to say. Yes, well, you gain a point, Derek. And you continue with the subject. You have 8 seconds to discuss it starting from now.
Sarah, I went up to the meter maid and I said, I'm sorry that I'm feeding the thing. But she said, you mustn't do it. You know it's against the law. And I said, I'm terribly sorry. And I won't do it.
Yes, why did you challenge Clement? You're absolutely right.
Feeding
you gain a point. And you continue with the subject. Clement, you have 2 seconds to discuss feeding starting from now.
White feeding.
Oh, you won again. Oh, you are clever. Oh, that is good, isn't it? Lovely. Ah, well, Clement, of course, by that brilliant stroke, has plunged literally into the lead. And Derek, you are now behind him. And still third place, Geraldine, Nicholas. Oh, well, good work. Geraldine, can you speak on keeping up with the Joneses for 60 seconds? Keeping up with the Joneses, a happy pun there, a bit of serendipity, so to speak. Keeping up with the Joneses for 60 seconds, starting now.
This is something that, of course, I personally have never found the smallest difficulty in doing. I do understand, however, that some people would differ with me in the interpretation of this phrase and suppose that it's rather like keeping up with rabbits. There are so many Joneses that nobody can actually count them. And what I mean by it, that is, the impossibility of attaining the illustrious heights which are constantly reached by anyone bearing my most magnificent name, is something that they don't really give...
Who was challenged there? Derek, why did you challenge?
Well, it's not a magnificent name. It's a fairly dreary old common name.
It is one of the greatest names in the history of the Principality of Wales.
Just because you're...
And moreover, I think you've adopted the most ungallant attitude to this lovely child here. A point to Geraldine.
Just because he's called Williams.
2 points to Geraldine. Nice Not crowded enough. Yes, and so, Geraldine, you have 33 seconds left to discuss the subject of keeping up with the Joneses starting from now.
There is one section of the population which finds this particularly difficult.
Challenge from Derek again. Challenge from you again. Derek won't go round. Won't round, Derek.
Sorry, actually, repetition of population.
Was it a repetition of population?
Population.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, Geraldine. That I cannot allow. Derek gains a point. Derek gains a point, and he has 30 seconds to speak on keeping up with the Joneses starting now.
One of the Joneses I'm closest to is Geraldine. Everything she finds so boring and dreary. She has no enjoyment of life at all. So why should I want to keep up with her?
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Clement Freud's challenge.
Deviation,
why the challenge?
She adores life.
Deviation, she adores life. That is absolutely true. So you gain a point, Clement. And you have left 22 seconds to discuss keeping up with the Joneses starting now.
I once went out with two sisters called Amanda and Natalia Jones.
Nick, why do you challenge?
Why, it's very repetitious to go out with two sisters.
Nonetheless. Nonetheless. I would say it was adventitious. So he gets a point for that. Clement gets a point. And continues with the subject. You have 22 seconds for keeping up with the Joneses starting now.
They were respectively 4'9" and 4'11".
Oh, a challenge from Nick. Why
repetition of four.
Oh, yes, I'm afraid there was a four before. Yes, well, then you get a point, Nick. You get a point. And you get the subject, Nicholas. 12 seconds for keeping up with the Joneses starting now.
You've just got to keep up with the Joneses. It doesn't matter what you do. Go out today, tomorrow. It doesn't matter. Find something you can do. Get new clothes, new personality. Stand up there and shout.
You've been challenged. Derek's challenged you on what grounds?
It doesn't matter. Repeat it.
It doesn't matter. Right, then you continue with the subject for 5 seconds. Keeping up with the Joneses starting now.
If you go down to Aberystwyth, it's terribly difficult to keep up with them because there are so many.
Oh, that's very clever. Very clever. Yes. Yes, well, Nick, you're going up, you're going up, you're almost second, but you're not quite, no, it's Clement still in the lead, I'm afraid, followed very closely by Derek, and Geraldine, trailing darling. Now, do pack on up there, come along, I mean, enough better than this. Now, the next subject is rubies. You've all heard of rubies, the jewel, the blood-red ruby. On the card is written rubies. Will you speak, Derek, on the subject of rubies for 60 seconds, starting now?
Great regret to me that so many Christian names are disappearing from the English language. Pearls seem to be on disappearance. Gertrude Barbariana.
Oh, Nick, why did you challenge?
I thought it was hesitation.
You thought it was hesitation?
Oh, Barbariana.
Well, you must tell us honestly, Derek, were you hesitating? Now come along, you are on oath. Come on.
I was finding a slight difficulty with my speech impediment.
That's good enough for me. You were fumbling, dear. That's obvious. You were fumbling. Right. You get point, Nicholas, and you get the subject. You have 50 seconds to discuss rubies starting now.
Everybody used to say Ruby's got the very best pair in the whole of the business. Her two legs are absolutely as she walked down the street, you were...
Oh, I'm sorry. You were challenged. You were challenged. You were challenged by Derek. On what grounds?
Well, repetition, best pair.
Best pair, deviation.
Deviation and repetition. Deviation. Best pair.
Yes, the best pair would be deviating, I'm afraid. And you are fine. And you have 45 seconds to discuss Ruby starting now.
Excuse me.
Starting now, come along.
No, Ruby McAvoy, who lived just outside the small town of Crampleheckon, was a...
Oh, a challenge from
deviation.
Nick.
Deviation, there is no such thing.
Yes, I'm afraid you're absolutely right. You gain a point.
Yes,
and
exactly.
You have... 40 seconds to discuss rubies starting now.
Of course, the whole point is that this particular precious stone is one of the most valuable of all. One of the most difficult things is it...
Challenge from Derek. Why did you challenge?
Yes, it's not one of the most valuable of all.
It is.
It isn't. No, you are right.
The ruby, the emerald, and the
more valuable, so you get a point. And the subject is 32 seconds in which to discuss rubies starting now.
I think one of the most beautiful rubies was that was given by the Sultan of Turkey to Lord Nelson after his victory.
Oh, a challenge from Clement. Why did you challenge Clement?
He didn't give him one.
He didn't give him one. You're absolutely right. You gain a point, and you have... We have 36 seconds in which to discuss rubies starting now.
But the Maharaja of Cooch Bihar gave one to his wife, which is now on show in the Wallace Collection in London, which is open daily and on Sunday afternoons from 2:00 until 5:30.
A challenge from Geraldine. Yes, Geraldine, why are you challenging?
Deviation advertising.
Deviation advertising? On the contrary, I thought the information was fabulous. Go on, Clement. Yes, no points awarded. Go on, Clement.
Many jewelers receive these stones and are then asked to cut them into shapes which are required by the prospective purchasers in order that they reflect the true beauty of the inherent value of the...
Oh!
just beside myself there. Oh, never heard such fluency, such articulation. Oh, you're a very gifted fella, there's no doubt about it. And moreover, you're in the lead. Eric second, and the rest of you are still trailing. Well, here we go. Clement, carrier pigeons. Will you discuss carrier pigeons for 60 seconds, starting now?
This used to be one of the most popular forms of transport. One got a pigeon and trained it.
There's a challenge from Derek. Why are you challenging Derek?
It's not a form of transport. Nobody was carried by
a pigeon. Absolutely right. You gain a point, and you have 55 seconds to discuss carrier pigeons, starting now.
It was, in fact, one of the best ways of sending messages. You take them in large baskets down to the front, where the warring crowds, such as Lord Nelson and the Battle of the Nile, when he got that lovely ruby from the Sultan in Turkey, which is absolutely true. He got it out of his hat and gave it to him. Anyway, he sent a message off by a carrier pigeon to Lady Hamilton, who was waiting.
A challenge from Nick. Why are you challenging Nick?
Repetition of message, he said.
Yes, I'm afraid he did. You gain a point, Nick. And now you have 40 seconds to discuss carrier pigeons, starting now.
As I was walking out of Euston Station the other day, there was a woman beside me with a very large basket, and the porter turned to me and said, "A carrier pigeon." And I said, of course, I couldn't possibly do it. It's probably for autumn very important message with it. And these messages, of course...
Challenge from Clement. Why are you challenging?
Messages, repetition.
I said messages,
repetition. Yes, absolutely right, dear. So you gain a point, very nicely put, and you take the subject. You have 36 seconds starting now.
During the Second World War, there was a certain phasing out of this type of transportation.
Nicely put. What's the matter, Nick?
With a deviation, you established, Mr. Chairman, early on, that carrying pigeons were no form of transportation.
No, transport they were.
Ah, yes, you see, there's a difference between transportation and transport, and I think Miss Clement Freud, using the word in quite a different sense here, was absolutely justified, and therefore, I award another point, and he continues the subject, for 18 seconds, starting from now.
Pieces of paper bearing graphic inscriptions were tied with rubber bands and attached.
Oh, you can't tie with a rubber band.
You can't tie with a rubber band. On the contrary, I've done it myself. So you lose a point, and you gain. And you have 12 seconds starting from now.
And attached the legs of the carrier pigeons, which were then told to home, meaning to return to the place from which they set out before leaving for the front line.
Oh, brilliant! Freud has, as you see there, left the lead at the end there to win. So he is this week's winner. And second was Derek. Nicholas was third. Geraldine, lamentably trailing. But game to the end. So give it a good clap. There we are. Well, thank you. There we must leave it as just a minute. Must be off the air in just a minute. I have time to tell you that in this program, victory went to those taking part were... Oh, I saw a load of rubbish, isn't it? Well, there we come to the end of another edition of Just a Minute. Goodbye.
Chairman of Just a Minute this week was Kenneth Williams. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Simon Brett.
Just a Minute, a quiz show from the BBC, as originally broadcast on February 23rd, 1970. And that episode did have a title. It was entitled The Alphabet. Just a Minute ran on the BBC well into the 1980s. And with that, we come to the end of another edition of the Southern Tier Radio Theater. I hope you enjoyed our program of quiz shows this week. And I hope you'll join me again next week at this same time, when we will again turn back the clock and listen to more classic sounds from radio's golden age. This is Jake Longwell, thanking you again for your company this week. And you have been listening to the Southern Tier Radio Theater.